There's not even anyone here because I haven't shared this link. So I decided to just start the thing. It's just me talking to myself. And then I'll find the link on my iPad, assumedly. Oh, jeez, what was that? Scheduled. Is it live though? One waiting. Definitely live. Come on, man. Copy link. Waiting for Troy Hunt. Was Troy Hunt live? What have I done? As you can see, I'm on holidays. Don't really. Oh, here we go. Troy Hunt's live. Wow. It's now live. Alright. I feel like I've got to refine this process. Very, very casual in the way I schedule and start these. If anyone has any wonderful ideas about how to do a better job of that, I'm all ears. Let me just tweet the thing. Some drafts. G'day Joel, someone's here. Good, means it's working. Thanks, mate. Appreciate you popping by. I'll grab that. Can all just sit and look at the lovely scenery behind me while I work this out. I'm going to post that. And then I'm going to go... Still people on Mastodon? Of course, there's still people on Mastodon. And post it there. And then we're organized. Beautiful. All right. We got there. Thank you for... sticking by with that. Marek is there. Good stuff. Still here. I know what happened. I had taken the thumbnail photo with the camera trigger on my watch, and then I touched my watch, and then it zapped off here, and now we're back. Now, Joel says, get Dylan Beattie to sort them out, to sort the theme tune, to sort you a theme tune. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be... I assume I'm going to be seeing Dylan in
a couple of months.
In... Ozzo for NDC Ozzo. Do I need a theme tune? Maybe we could just chat GPT that these days. Sure, I'm going to ask the AI. You're done. Now, noises you may hear in the background. Cockatoos. I hope you're not hearing any wind noise. Yell out if you do hear any wind noise. I've got the wind sock over there. I think we're out of the weather just now, but just so everyone can see what I'm looking at as well, if I turn that around. So it is... It is a beautiful, so just listening later on, it is a beautiful Whitsunday's Hamilton Island scene, albeit a bit rainy today, a bit overcast. So can't be perfect every day, unfortunately, but be that as it may, I thought we'll sit here, we'll do this video. Joel is getting a little wind occasionally, but not too obtrusive. Okay, mate, we'll look, yell out if it's any worse. It should be fine. As you can see, even behind me, the trees aren't really moving there. But it has been about 25 knots each day, which is a bit unfortunate. So we were going to go and have a bit of a jet ski safari, because it tends to be our thing, a couple of days ago. But yeah, 25 knots didn't work. Yesterday, we went out to Whitehaven Beach. Now, if you're not from this part of the world or from Australia, you haven't heard of Whitehaven Beach, Google Whitehaven Beach. Consistently rated one of the best beaches in the world. It's just extraordinarily beautiful. We had been there before. In fact, we've been there before on better weather. So yesterday we sat around the beach and drank champagne, which was about as nice as it sounds. I'll post some photos of that later on. This is a great spot. It's about an hour 40 flight from our place back on the Gold Coast. So it's very, very accessible. It's our own state. It's just a lovely spot. And this is really just a getaway. Trying to have a bit of a break. And relax a little bit from the chaos that is the normal stuff. Now, speaking of normal stuff, getting back into things. Sponsor this week is Collide, who needs no introduction, but we'll go through and we'll do it all anyway. Collide ensures only secure devices can access your cloud apps. It's device trust tailor-made for Okta. Book a demo today. And as I said before, I love having sponsors who will actually put out some demos and other things that you can get your hands on. So go and check that out. I've also mentioned before that Collide... is now part of 1Password as well, or at least has been bought by 1Password. So I am very, very curious to see how those two things align. Go beyond skin-deep compliance with comprehensive device visibility and a commitment to end-user remediation built from the ground up for Okta. Users fix problems without the help desk. Be nice. given that I sort of run a help desk for Have I Been Pwned, it'd be really nice to have users fix problems without us. And you define what trust means. Big thanks for sponsor Collide for this week, so go and check them out and see the wonderful things that they're doing now with 1Password as well. Now, it's all data breaches this week. Surprise, surprise. It's almost like that's just what I do, isn't it? So, a few of note. Put my coffee over there on my laptop, quite precariously. A few of note from this week. There's one I'm going to push the button on, I think, just while I'm doing this video. In fact, I'm going to do that after I talk about boat, because it's a relevant one to boat. It's related to boat. That's boat with a capital A. I don't know why, but we'll get to that. So, breaches this week. Boat. Okay, that's the first one. Now, there's an interesting twist on this, but let's just sort of do the formal description bits. Boat is an Indian service, not one that I had heard of before. Let's find the description here. Boat had 7.5 million records breached last month and published to a Clear Web hacking forum. I feel like I have to keep making that point now, because so many times there's a data breach and the company's like, there's a data breach, it's on the dark web. It's not on the dark web, it's on the freaking Clear Web. You know, let's just drop the term altogether, both the terms, and go, it's on the internet. Let me start saying that. Anyway, data published to the internet last week. Data included name, email, physical address, and phone. 42% of those already in Have I Been Pwned. Here he is. I might just leave that looking at the cocky phone. These are awesome. I love these birds. They're massive. They're screechy. They tend to come and steal any food they can get their beaks on. These ones pretty good. I've been trying to get them to eat some fruit. I don't like seeing cockatoos eat muffins and croissants, so I feel like that's not part of their natural diet. But they do love to come and steal muffins and croissants from the breakfast bar over there. But yeah, I think fruits and nuts and bugs is the norm. He's gone anyway. All right, so that's the boat situation. Now, here's where boat gets a bit more interesting and where it relates to the one that I'm going to push the go live button on now while I'm sitting here. Boat was published to an internet forum. We're just going to stick with internet. An internet forum by a user called Shopify Guy. And Shopify Guy, I think the name sort of implies something about the way they got access to the data. If I was to read the description here, just watching Marek's comment, just reminding me of something. So Marek had just disappeared off the screen there, but it's going to come back here. Said something about international friends and not feeding the wildlife. Let me see. All right, assuming I saw what popped up on the iPhone correctly, it was something to the effect of, for international friends, like feeding things to animals here in Australia, not such a good idea. What really bugs me is a cafe I go to a lot on South Stradbroke Island. For the locals, it's Tipler's, well, so pretty much the only cafe there. We'll jet ski or boat over there. You sit there and you can order a nice lunch. And the number of times I see people feeding the wallabies chips, like hot chips. And I was like, what are you doing? I guarantee hot chips are not on a wallaby's natural diet. And there's signs up everywhere, you know, don't feed the wildlife. It's tempting because they're cute, but no, don't feed the wallabies, especially hot chips. Stefan's there. G'day, Stefan. How are you, mate? Now, that's where I was. Shopify Guy. So, Shopify Guy, the handle of this person on the internet who did the boat data breach. I'm just looking at the story here. 7.5 million boat customers. Name, address, contact number, email ID, whole bunch of other stuff. Shopify Guy claimed to breach the data of audio products and smartwatch maker Boat. Boat Lifestyle. Leaker's profile, Shopify Guy, is relatively new. That leaker had one post up until yesterday, which is what we're going to talk about in a moment, which was the boat data breach. Only has one leak under his belt. The data is genuine. If the data is genuine, the hack will gain a good reputation. I did verify this with multiple Have I Been Pwned subscribers. yes, the data was correct. Yes, they were both customers. And so on and so forth. Now, was there anything more in here about Shopify? Not just by eyeballing it. Now, I didn't see any more press about, is there a Shopify angle to this? Did it come from Shopify? Was it a Shopify vulnerability? You'd think if it was a Shopify vulnerability, there'd be a lot more. However, that then leads us to the next one, which is not on my run sheet for today. And if I pick up my laptop and just see if I can make this data go... This is what I'm doing on holidays, processing data breaches. Problem is, it doesn't matter whether you're at home or on holidays, hackers going to hack, and there's still data out there, and there's still people want to know about their exposure. Okay, this one, let me just see if I've got this right. Okay, I'm going to read it out to you. Ooh, I typoed something here. Let me just fix the typo. Right, this is Giant Tiger. Now, in case you don't know what Giant Tiger is, so I'm going to set the title to... Giant Tiger is a Canadian discount retail store. Giant Tiger like that. Yeah, that would be better there. I had not heard of them before. They are in the press. They're in the press recently about having their data breached. That was published to the same popular hacking forum as the boat data breach, Shopify guy. So Shopify guy now has two under his belt, which is, I guess that's good for him in terms of credibility. I don't think we can really say it's good in terms of anything else, but Shopify guy now has both boat and Giant Tiger. Data was in pretty much the same sort of format. So I'm going to have a look at what's on my laptop here, and I'll read out what was on there just as I push this on the different social channels. So we end up with a whole bunch of JSON, nothing that looks too sensitive. It's really just name, email, phone, and physical address. So look, it's not stuff you want being shared around, but it's also no passwords, no government IDs. We'll talk about a breach with that in just a moment. So it's not particularly interesting that way. However, you've got two different data breaches, both from the same person, both in exactly the same structure, both seeming to imply something Shopify related. Now, again, I don't know that there's anything wrong with Shopify per se. I'll just finally push all the last little bits and pieces here on the socials. But there's obviously something in common with these. And we'll send the notices to whoever been paying subscribers. And there we go. That's it. That's the very tail end of it. We've got to make that more efficient, Stefan. It's just saying there's still too much manual work there, but I'm sure that is somewhere on the long list of to-do items that we have there. Okay, so I don't know what the situation with Shopify guy is or where he's getting this data from, but clearly it's the same structure, same format, exactly the same data attributes that are in there. It's not too sensational, but somehow the guy keeps coming up with data. We'll see what else is there. I think that's... We sort of see this, where every now and then someone will pop up, and they seem to be very good at breaking into systems using some particular pattern they've developed. Maybe it's just scanning for open backups or something. Maybe it's brute forcing, whatever. Like, there's a pattern. And I imagine that we're going to see more from this guy if he's found a good way of doing this. Alrighty, so that was that one. Now the next one, which was a little bit more interesting in terms of volume and impact, was the Salvadorian citizens. Now El Salvador, as a country, apparently has 6 million something people. This is a data breach with more than 5 million records in it. Now what made this one particularly interesting is that, as I pull up the tweet and get all the data on it as well, it wasn't just the volume of records and the percentage of the country, and it's a little bit reminiscent of like South Africa Master Deeds incident, noisy cockies, some years ago, because it's such a significant portion of the population. Where this one was really quite different is that for all of the folks that were in there, 947,000 unique email addresses, most records did not have an email address, there was also profile photos, like passport style profile photos. So there's millions and millions of JPEGs included with this, and they have the identifiers that map back up to the record. Now, these records had name, government ID, so they're government-issued ID. I'm not sure to what extent that's used for identity verification in El Salvador. Physical addresses, and then, of course, the associated profile photo. So that was a massive, massive leak on their behalf. And you can only imagine that that was not a good outcome for the folks in El Salvador. Now, mind you, as I was doing a little bit of reading, there are a whole bunch of not nice things said about El Salvador government and dictatorships and things like that. So who knows? I mean, maybe it's just one of those places where they've got much bigger issues to worry about, and that was not the most upsetting thing that happened in their day. But be that as it may, it's still a large data breach. It's got government IDs in it. Now, let's talk about another one. I'm just going to pop the video back open here on my iPad so I can see comments, because at the moment they're just sort of flicking past on my screen. Okay, now I've got them back. All right, now I can see Marek's comment properly. The international visitors don't feed the wildlife down under. Make some L. Two international videos. Yes, visitors. Yep, that was what I thought you said. All right. Jeez. I have a feeling we're not going snorkeling today. They do have a go-kart track here, though. So that might be on our horizon, I think, later this arvo. And again, folks, tell me if there's wind noise there and I'll chuck the windsock on, or I will somehow move position or something. Last one. There's just been a flood of breaches recently from different actors. I mean, I mentioned Shopify guy, two from him very recently. A bunch of others coming from the same sort of parties over and over again. Now, even after a party has a bit of a track record, every time I get this data, there's got to be some sort of a verification process to make sure that it's what they say it is. There was one floating around, or rather is one floating around at the moment, which is allegedly Accor, which is the French hotel chain. And there's even press about there being an Accor data breach. And I was going through this data, having a close look, and I do not think it is Accor. I think the Accor attribution is not correct. And it's just kind of a weird reason why. So here's the tweet thread. 2 days ago, the Hackmanic account, which tweets a lot of really, really good stuff about data breaches that have appeared on the internet. We're going to stop using that term, dark web, clear web. On March 31st, we reported that a database belonging to Accor was allegedly for sale. Now Intel brokers have decided to release the data of 642,000 users. It's a French hospitality company. Data breach. Furthermore, Intel Broker has been elevated in rank within the hacking forum, earning a title of moderator, a recognition meant to underline the real dangers posed by the threat actor. Kind of tangential to the whole Accor thing, so let's not get into that. Now, here's what I found when I looked at Accor. First of all, you got 642,000 records there. There were only several mentions of the word Accor. That is really unusual, because out of those 600,000, you're going to get a fraction of 1% that put Accor in the email address somewhere, because they've either got a catch-all domain or they're using sub-addressing. No Accor anywhere in the data other than one or two places where they appeared as a customer of whatever service this actually was. So in terms of the Accor attribution, I just can't find anything in there that links it back to them. I don't imagine there is anywhere that is simply like the Accor logon page, because they're a hospitality company with lots of different hotels and things around the world. But clearly none of this tied back to them. But as I'm eyeballing through the data, you know how sometimes like your subconscious does things without you quite knowing how it does it? But my subconscious keeps seeing @Pfizer.com email addresses. Now maybe it was the 14 years I spent at Pfizer looking at the word Pfizer all over the place. But I'm seeing this pattern over and over and over again. Of the 642,000 something email addresses, there are almost 11,000 Pfizer.com addresses. That is a very strange number. It's a significant number to have in a... Like if it was a 20 million record data breach, I go, I could see 11,000 people from one of the world's largest companies being there, sure. But not when there's only hundreds of thousands of records. And then as I'm looking through it, I'm seeing the pattern. AstraZeneca, Biogen. I didn't mention it here in the tweet, but it was GlaxoSmithKline. There was Bayer. Anyway, all pharma companies. So there's this massive bias of pharma-related data. And then you look at it and you go, well, what's actually in here? There were like names, job titles, I think it was job titles, other stuff. You know what, let's just have a look at the data. We'll figure this out live. I'll pick the laptop up. I'll try and work this out. Because the sense that I'm getting is it's almost like a, I was going to say spam list, it's probably a fair title. Spam list, marketing list, something like that of people in the pharma industry. So maybe it was like a pharma conference somewhere. And a whole bunch of data has just been siphoned up after it got left exposed because all of these, like Pfizer and Glaxo people, went like swiped their badges. Okay, so what do we got in here? We got, first of all, data.csv, aptly named file, 149 megabytes worth of data here. It's got a file date, the 31st of March. And then we've got a bunch of columns in the CSV file. We've got a timestamp. Everything is 1970-0101, so let's not pay too much attention to that. Contact ID. And then under contact ID, the examples we've got are things like, well, actually, a bunch of these are codes. C6UJ. Well, that's almost looks like some sort of foreign key reference to something else. Right at the start of the record, though, under contact ID, they've got like academic a bunch of times. Then we've got email, which is self-explanatory. We've got home email, which is a column next to it. Now, what's a little bit interesting here, it almost feels a bit fabricated. So I won't sort of give the name, but we've got someone's like firstname.lastname@gene.com. under email, and then under home email, you've got a different variation of that name, also at gene.com, which looks a bit sus, if you ask me. But most records do not have something in both columns. And where they do have something in both columns, it's the same domain, and sometimes just the same email address. Anyway, then we've got a status, and this is where the pharma thing really comes through, because over and over and over again, this status column says pharmaceuticals. So who knows what that means? Well, I mean, we know what pharmaceuticals means, but what does it indicate? Title, account ID, contact information. So, you know, we've just got like first name, last name. There's nothing that I can see in here that doesn't feel like it just came out of a marketing database somewhere. Now, what's curious here too, there's a create date column, and these create dates start at like 2002. And what's the most recent date? Most recent date is 2023 August, by the look of it. So it looks like we've got a breadth of 21 years worth of data, and it's only 600,000 something. This is directory data. It's some sort of directory data or marketing list that is very pharmaceutical orientated. Lots of Merck email addresses, a bunch of Bank of America email addresses as well. But as I scroll through here, there's so many common names in the pharma industry. What's Nutcracker X? I don't recognize that one. Nutcrackerx.com. May not be safe to open at home. We don't know yet. We're going to figure it out. Let's take this person's email address out. I'm going to regret this for sure. Cracking the code for RNA therapies. Okay, well, biotech again. Biotech, pharma. Anyway, it's not a core. That's the only thing that I'm confident of. It is not a core data. So I think that is an overblown headline, possibly misattributed. It would really help for any, first of all, for anyone listening to this going out hacking systems, stop doing that shit. Like, that's really, really going to land you in a lot of hot water. If people are doing that and they're going to do attribution, there needs to be more information about how you're going to attribute it. Because stuff like this, yeah, possibly puts a core in a very difficult position, is making it very hard for everyone to figure out what on earth has actually gone on. There's a bunch of people out there that are core customers that are saying, well, look, is my data going to be in there? Do I have to go and, you know, change my date of birth again or whatever it may be? So a bit of a weird one. We'll see if there's more information that comes out of that between now and next week. Okay, folks. Marek says, taken during conferences at a core facilities. Oh, that's a good point. That would be really interesting. Okay. I was about to wrap it up, and now you got me thinking. Because do we have an address in there or other fields that indicate where they might have been? Contact function, account ID, account industry. Let's turn off CSV formatting and just eyeball the walls of text that are here. Finance, accounting, vice president, marketing. I'm not seeing stuff that links directly to there. But I wonder if the create dates all line up around events, which might have been at the core facility. Let's have a look at those create dates. Because you'd imagine if there was a conference somewhere. Well, see, that is a bit more interesting now. So, for example, there's a contact, or rather a create date here of 2009-0107. And then you've got a whole bunch of stuff, and then they're all just flagged as 5 a.m. You've got a whole bunch of records that are exactly the same. Was that all information collected at an Accor facility? Was there a conference there? In fact, this would make things interesting. If I was to just look at the email addresses that were in the records created on that date. Okay, so here's our sectors. I assume it's sectors. Column 11 here. Manufacturing, software, call centers, manufacturing, consulting, insurance, aerospace. And then there's a whole spread. And then if I have a look at the email addresses of people in here, it's a lot of Gmail, Yahoo, some aerospace looking names. Marek says, may not be a core sourced, but indirectly related. I wonder if I was to go down, I was to find like a, you know, Pfizer.com one. And then you have a look at everything around Pfizer.com on the same date. This is, in all seriousness, this is what I quite enjoy about data breaches. It's fascinating to look at a set of data and go, where has this come from? Like, how did this happen? What are the patterns in here? So I've got a whole bunch of names here, or entries, from 2009-01-22. And then as we look at all of the TLDs there, there's some Gmails and so on. Well, so then again, it's a spread. We've got thegoodguys.com.au. It's an electrical retailer here. Accenture, HP. Curious. All right, I think Mark, that's got me going down another path now. And this is not millions and millions of records or some really large, significant, impactful data set, but I want to know where it came from. Like, it's just, where did this data come from? All right, so maybe next week I'll be able to give you an update. And if anyone's listening to this later on, they've got some suggestions like Marek just had. Sometimes it's hard for me to see the woods from the trees if I'm just sitting here looking at data and someone comes from the outside and they're like, hey, maybe it's events there. Simon says, pivot tables are a good and quick way to group data quickly to find patterns. Yeah, exactly. And this is a CSV file. I can pop this open in Excel and do that sort of thing. So, that might be a good idea. Okay, folks, I'm going to wrap this up. But there, the sun's coming back out. So we might actually go out and do some snorkeling or something after all. I'm going to see you next week from back home, and then I think I'll be home for about 2 months before it is time to head off to Europe and go do the NDC things. See you next week, everyone.